Geek Tank was recorded before a bunch of live left-handed cats.
Put your red shirt on and your brown coat too. Everybody's joining the crew at the Geek Tank. At the Geek Tank. Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
And this is Geek Tank on the Go,
your commuter-sized podcast, about the size of a short film compared to other podcasts that are super long.
That's true.
But it's not the length, it's the quality.
That's true, it's true. And the little like holes in the side of the film that the gears went into.
Right, it's the girth of the podcast.
It's the girth of the podcast, it's important.
Don't get away from that topic right now.
Okay, so this time we have cinema zombies.
Not actual zombies in the cinema, but one of these things like is cinema, the movie theaters specifically, are they the living dead?
Right, because we've hit the era of Netflix, and why is it that cinema hasn't disappeared?
How is it still alive?
How is it still alive?
So it's
that's what we're assessing today. And first of all, let's start out real quick by saying that we are at Enchanted Grounds Coffee House, which is also a gaming place, and it's at 3615 West Bowles Avenue, number 5, in Littleton, Colorado.
Yep, they cover all your coffee and gaming needs. You come in, get a cup of coffee. They do bottomless cup of coffees, which is what I have right now.
Which spills all over the place.
You think that it needs a bottom.
It needs a bottom. Seriously.
Yeah, I prefer to think of it as a coffee cup of holding, because you can keep going back and getting endless refills. I mean, it's endless within the time frame of open and close. You can't continue forever. It's not like the never-ending story. Even the never-ending story ended.
That's true.
So the
never-ending coffee will end at some point in time.
Yeah, so for like roughly $4, you can have as much coffee as you can drink in a day and stay in this location. It's good coffee, too. And they do Friday Night Magic the Gathering. And they have all kinds of miniatures, comic books, board games. It's cool. Come check it out.
So we're talking about cinema necrosis. Mm-hmm. Cinema zombies.
I want a t-shirt that says that.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that cool? Yeah. We've got a good title on this one. All
right.
Oh, the rest of them are goofy titles. This one's awesome. Why is it? We had some problems with cinema. I mean, I remember in the 90s they were saying, "Oh gosh, movies are starting to die off." But we've got a new wave.
We say that every time, right?
Yeah,
Betamax came out first, I believe.
Yeah, Betamax came out first.
VHS tapes and laser discs and then DVDs and now Blu-rays and now streaming. Every time someone's like, "Well, is this the end of movie theaters?" And it's not.
No. And here we are.
Here we are.
So, what is it about cinema, specifically, that has kept it alive,
mm-hmm.
where other things are starting to fail and fall away? I mean, cable companies are nearly killing themselves because of the fact that Netflix is pretty much... Netflix completely wiped out Blockbuster.
Yeah.
I mean, video stores are gone.
I'm nostalgic, too, because I enjoyed that experience of walking in. Something about the tangibility of being able to pick up just DVD or VHS and look at it.
And that brings me to another question. Is that because we're old?
I think so.
Okay, because, I mean, will our kids care that they can't walk into a place and pick up a thing?
Yeah.
Or will they go, why would I do that? I could just find it on my phone, Dad.
So much faster. Well, it's like, I have 6-year-old twins and a 10-year-old, and I used to take my 10-year-old Blockbuster when he was like 7, because we called it the Triangle, because I had a local gaming store called Bonnie Bray Gaming Shop, which is no more, unfortunately. But we'd go to Bonnie Bray, do a little 2-minute walk over to the video store Blockbuster, and then
which is no more.
No more, and then a 2-minute walk over to the lake and feed the ducks.
Which is no more. Oh, wait.
The ducks are still there.
The ducks are still there, but not the lake.
For how long?
How long, ducks?
So it's...
Hold on, ducks!
So I don't know how long that memory will stay in his brain, but I just gave him the experience of us going to Blockbuster. And the cool thing about this Blockbuster is they actually ran a Guitar Hero tournament.
Oh, man.
Compete in, so he got to... Or he actually wasn't there for that, but... But, they're no more, and when we're dead and that, it'll be no longer a thing.
Yeah, apparently there are still, like, 3 Blockbusters left in the United States or something. I mean, I think there's actually one in Colorado Springs.
Well, I don't know if they're still open, but up in Boulder, they had this really awesome video store.
Called the Video Station.
The Video Station, yeah, and they had really hard to get stuff like you. If you wanted to look for anime, Japanese anime, they had a huge selection.
Video Station was a big deal when for us in the anime community, because they were one of the first places that wasn't a Japanese community that actually had anime back in the 80s, 90s. And that was amazing, because we could rent videotapes of anime back in the day when that wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, but now on Netflix, they have a huge library of Japanese anime.
I can watch all kinds of anime on Netflix, and I do. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, Netflix has been a killer app.
Yeah.
I mean, it really has. It's gone through and it's wiped out Blockbuster. It's wiped out all the video stores are pretty much dying out because of Netflix.
Well, here's the thing. Video stores, even though they had a cool aspect to them in that, you're still taking that movie back to your home and you're still watching it on devices that you have at home. Netflix, you still watch on your device, same devices at home type thing.
Yeah.
So you're still getting the same size screen, the same size access.
And nothing's really changed.
Nothing's changed there. So it's understandable why that killed that, because I think Netflix is less than $8 a month if you do one aspect of it, if you do streaming only or getting them by mail,
the DVDs.
And it's a little more if you do both.
Right.
So, and then if you rent a movie, I think at best bet, it'd be like $1 a night.
Sure,
so
sure.
After eight movies, you've then paid the cost of a month's subscription.
Which I think was probably where Netflix set their model at.
Yeah.
But the question, of course, is then, and is it something that's happening that's going to happen? Here's something that I was just thinking about, which was, you look at Netflix now starts making their own movies, or their own
original
TV shows.
Content.
They've got original content now.
Oh my God, the Marvel Universe stuff they've done, I am so in love with. The Jessica Jones, Daredevil.
And they're doing good work
with
it.
They're doing really good work.
Because the difference is they've become their own studio now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now what? Do we need CBS, NBC, and ABC? Do we need them anymore? And the reason you ask that is because Netflix and Amazon are putting out their own stuff. Are these the new networks?
Not only new stuff, but stuff that's been canceled. Netflix has picked
like
up.
Arrested Development.
It's one of these.
And now Full House. Mm-hmm. Full House has come back.
Imagine the...
It's just baffling to
imagine
me.
The blow it would be to television if Netflix got Firefly to renew.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why in the world that's... Anyway.
Well, Josh is done with it.
He's done with it. Yeah. So, which is a shame. Josh, if you're listening to this, please bring back Firefly.
You've never heard that before, I bet.
I'm sure nobody has ever told you that. But me, I'm a special person. Special.
He's a unique snowflake.
I'm a unique snowflake. And just for me, please bring back Firefly. And I'll even guest star in it. Anyway, because if we're dreaming, mm-hmm. I mean, we might as well dream big.
Without going too far down the rabbit hole, there'd be the question of how many seasons would it be before it stopped being good.
That's true.
None, it's infinite. But in any case, that's a whole other topic.
Well, but here's another thing. The metrics for Netflix are so much better than for anything else. With television, we have Nielsen's. And what Nielsen's is we stick a box in your house. Certain people's houses. And we measure what you're watching and then extrapolate that to represent everybody in the United States. Which means that if you did all of your boxes in like Houston, Texas, you would get a completely different set of demographics than you would if you did it in San Francisco.
Or if you covered only a specific house income.
Right. With Netflix, we track exactly who watched what episodes when.
And specific to you, so they can make a recommendation like, oh, you like Battlestar Galactica? Perhaps you would like, what was the spinoff?
Caprica.
So...
Right. And so you end up with all of these, I mean, the metric is accurate to the person with Netflix and Amazon and all of the ones that are similar to this. And this is one of the reasons why CBS is going to their CBS All Access, where they're going to put Star Trek exclusively on it, because they want to, like nobody learned this from UPN, but that's okay. They're going to... Because that's what they did with Voyager. They launched a television network with Voyager, and it didn't work. So I'm worried that CBS All Access is also going to not work. But that's another story altogether. But here's the deal. We know exactly how many people watched, let's say Daredevil.
Sure.
We know exactly how many people watched Daredevil. And because it's always available, we can also take over a year's time how many people watched Daredevil. Instead of worrying about September 3rd, at 6 p.m., we don't have to worry about that anymore. Now we can just say, oh, we had 10 million people watch Daredevil. not only that, they're right now not tied to advertising.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have seen some advertising pop up, but you can bypass it really simply. It was a shock to me when a commercial came on. I'm like, why is there a commercial on my streaming Netflix video? But it's at the very beginning. They don't insert it in the middle of the show. But I hit play on one and a commercial popped up. This has only happened a couple of times.
They're testing it.
But you can hit, like, another button and it skips it.
It's going to be like YouTube then.
Yeah.
It's going to get to the point where certain commercials you can skip and certain commercials you can't.
Yeah.
And then it would be like cable, where I pay $50 a month to watch commercials.
What I really don't want, though, is I'm hoping they don't start piecemealing it. It's like, well, if you want Daredevil, you have to pay $1 an episode. Then I'm going, it's going to kill me if they do that.
Yeah.
But right now, I love the way it is. But theaters... You know, theaters, you have to go off of either a friend's recommendation or a movie review. You don't
commercial
have,
you saw.
You don't have this person come up to you. You don't have this pool of data that says, hey, you liked this movie? You'll like this movie, too.
Right. And not only that, though, we can go by box office. Yeah. We know that X number of people in the box office paid for this, that, or the other thing. Mm-hmm. We know that. But... here again, we're still going to have the same metric problems. And now, televisions are getting to the point where they're huge. And they're cheap, huge.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about the size, by the way.
Size.
And you could go get a 57-inch screen television, full-color HD, for a reasonable price?
Yeah, probably $600. If you were... I mean, you know, if you're a real fan of that stuff, that's not a big deal. I know that we bought our... whatever, it's like a 25-inch or something ridiculous, which for me is ridiculous.
Right.
Because I'm not a real big fan of huge in anything. I like it to be somewhat unobtrusive. And that was $150 or $200 or something like that.
I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Yeah.
We said nothing huge.
Yeah,
I had to throw in a weird reference there. In any case, yeah, and you don't have... depending on where you sit in the movie theater, the ratio of the screen size based off of your screen size at home...
Right. So really, you were going for
the experience,
which is where Alamo has the benefit.
Yeah. The Alamo Drafthouse movie theater is my favorite movie theater.
Because they've got an experience.
Yes.
You go there, you get food, you get alcohol, if you're into that thing.
They have a very strict no cell phone, no talking policy.
No cell phone, no talking. And there are people who are in the theaters watching, and you can... alert them that there's somebody behind you being annoying and obnoxious. And
it's actually very ingenious. The way you order your food or your drinks, you write on a little card and you put it at your table. You have like a little table built into your seat in the
seats,
next to
yeah.
you. And a little place you stick it there, and then the waitress or waiter sees it, and they come down very ninja-like, and they get it, and they go back, and they place your order. If there's someone bothering you, you just write on the card who's bothering you. So you don't even have to directly confront the person that's talking on their cell phone and being a jerk. You just write on your card, say, hey, this guy sitting in front of me is talking on the cell phone or is videotaping the movie, and they come down and get it, and they deal with it.
Right.
Whereas if you're in an actual theater, your two choices are to deal with it directly by asking them to be quiet, and then you have to worry about it becoming a violent confrontation, or you have to physically get up, leave, go find a manager, and what the manager will do is more than likely say, here's a ticket to see another movie for free. They won't even come kick the person out. At least in my experience, when I've had it happen, that's what they did. They didn't tell the person to be quiet. They just said, here, go see another movie.
We have rambled totally, like,
way
for a
past
long time. So let's real quickly take a break, and then we'll come back. And when we come back, we'll talk about how the theater experience has changed in the past 20 years.
Which we're kind of getting into now with the Alamo.
That's what I was thinking. So we'll be back right after this.
Remember the Alamo.
This is Colton Muheim from Red Team Go, and this is Geek Tank.
And we're back.
So we're talking about cinema zombies.
Movie theaters, why are they still functioning and existing? Are they have to be making a profit in order to be alive, essentially.
Right.
So,
right. And I mean, we can always go to the obvious. Popcorn costs $27 and...
Yep.
And the ticket costs $1,000, and you know, you pretty much have to mortgage your house in order to go get a ticket for a movie.
The expensive end of a movie ticket, not counting like IMAX or the 3D stuff. If you're talking about just your normal movie ticket, averages between $10 to $15 at prime time. We know of good deals.
Yeah.
Like there's the movie theater down at Belmar.
The Belmar, mm-hmm. which does the Tuesday deal.
Yeah, I think
bucks.
it's like a little more than that. It's like five something. But still, it's under $6, which is a really good deal and I think it covers all movies. I'm not sure.
I think
it does
too.
I'm not 100% on that. But so at best bet, and then I think some matinees I think are around $5 or $6. So
yeah.
If you go at a right time, you can catch a good price at the theater. But like you said, large popcorn is going to cost you like $10, $15, and then soda is going to be another $5. So they're making their money off of that, and a lot of theaters are now experimenting with alcohol.
Yeah.
Of being able to have...
Like a lot of teenagers.
Experiment with alcohol.
Yeah.
Which we do not condone. No. Or neither confirm or deny.
Nor deny that we did it. Yeah.
But in any case, it's... That's another profit they'll make because they can charge bar prices for drinks. So if you're spending $5 to $8 on a beer, then that's another that costs them like $1 to make or whatever, or $1 to get.
And I wonder if that has something to do with the growing up that we're getting now, finally, with movies. There's been, because I was just thinking, you know, one of the things we got to go through is what has changed over cinema, since we went to go see Jaws in 1977, or Star Wars.
Besides my mom kicking her shoe off when the shark popped out of the water.
Did that really happen?
I was six, first of all, which, by the way, I don't recommend taking a six-year-old to see Jaws. I have to remember this because my brother told me the story. I don't have a memory of it, but my brother said, do you remember when mom, the shark popped up?
Your mom.
She was wearing, like, flip-flops. And so when she jumped at the jumpy scene, her shoe shot off.
Rather her shoe shot off. I always pull muscles, and especially my arms. I hate those things. Yeah,
launch popcorn all through the
air. Popcorn.
But yeah, back when the rating system was different.
The rating system was different. But I mean, I would never have thought of alcohol at a movie theater in 77.
Right. Which apparently is in other countries not a big deal. I went to a movie when I was in Germany, and it was very common. You could buy a beer and take it right in there with you.
Yeah. Now, it should be noted that the Alamo allows children 6 and up, but not 6 and below, which I think is also kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there's very certain events that they do, like the cartoon
thing.
Cereal Saturdays, which is amazing, but they expect kids because it's cereal and cartoons.
Right. That makes total sense.
But they're, they're strict about the age because they don't want... It's not a daycare.
It's not a daycare. And movies shouldn't be. No. And really, honestly, when my six-year-old, who's now six, wasn't six, there was times, things would scare him that were weird. I just never... Like, he hated any time we would watch any kind of YouTube video where one person did multiple voices, so there was like four people on the screen at the same time that were the same person. That freaked him out. And you're like, that's just weird. Why are you freaked out about that?
That's seeing the same person is just not natural.
Right.
I guess.
It's multiple people all moving their mouths different ways, but they all look the same.
Well, like my son Victor hates anything that's a Muppet or a puppet.
Right. So really the truth is you've got to be very careful with kids under six anyway.
Right.
Because you really shouldn't be. I mean, because you'd think, oh, the Muppet movie, I'll take my three-year-old to it. Your son would completely come
unglued. When Deadpool would come out like in the first week, I went to see some other movie because I'd already seen Deadpool. But I passed the line, and somebody had, like, their 8-year-old kid in the line. But,
and you're like, yeah, that's not going to work, guys.
But it's a parenting choice.
It's a parenting choice.
If you want to
and it's not our job.
Much violence.
Yeah, it's not our job to tell you how to deal with your kids.
But you're doing it wrong.
We're just saying. But, yeah, so, I mean, I think we're talking a little bit about that, and we're talking about the evolution of this.
And theaters.
And the theaters have grown up, and which is good because now the Alamo Draft House is more like what you'd expect to get as a situation.
It's how I remember theaters being when I was a teenager and older, but then again, it could be skewed memories.
Sure,
I don't know if I'm at because I didn't actually do a survey. I just don't remember that many crying babies in a movie theater. But now, if you go to a movie theater, of course, cell phones didn't exist.
Sure,
at that point. So that's definitely.
So it's not like you had cell phones in there. Well, and there were like all kinds of different things. Like I had heard about theaters that wanted to build Faraday cages, so that your cell phone wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wouldn't matter whether you had a cell phone or not; it wouldn't work.
So take that.
Now I was like, that was an interesting idea, but I'm imagining a Faraday cage the size of a theater. Mm-hmm. Now looking back, I don't know if that's going to work. Like
concrete.
You think it will.
It's the signals.
The same thing. Yeah, you just steel and concrete, build it in.
Now about the late 90s, and I can't remember exactly, there felt to me like there was a change in people's attitudes in theaters. There was a lot more talking during a movie, and it didn't feel like, because I had this expectation that when you're in a movie theater, there's silence. Now, you could cough or whatever, but you don't turn to the person next to you and start saying, well, why is that happening? Or, wow, that was really stupid of that character to do that. Such thing. And it felt like that was happening more. And my brother and I had talked about this, and the observation was while people are getting used to videos of Blockbuster taking movies home and watching movies in their home, and in
where
your home,
you can talk about it all day long
because you don't have to worry about interrupting it for other people. So a lot of people were bringing this kind of changed attitude towards viewing movies from their home and the video experience into the theater.
That's an interesting twist.
This was our observation of it. Now, we had nothing to back this. It's just
no, it's just an observation, but it's a good
correlation equal causality. And it felt like that was happening in that aspect, just because now that movies are more prominent in the home. Now this home feeling was going in there.
So for those of you playing at home, that's called post hoc, ergo propter hoc.
Gazuta.
Yeah. It's the causality equals causation.
And if it's a
logical
box,
fallacy.
Is it dead?
No, I just...
Right.
I like to bring that up because sure. that means that
these
people in Rome have this problem
yeah.
with watching movies and people talking in the theater in Rome. And now you've learned something new. Yep. Little did you know.
It's one of those, five guys with beards are drinking coffee, so therefore everybody with a beard must drink coffee. Or everybody that drinks coffee grows a beard.
That's what happened to me.
Yep.
I didn't start drinking coffee until later, and now, look, I've got a beard.
Did your coffee grow a beard?
My coffee sometimes has a beard. Wouldn't have left it out too long.
Your beard definitely can have coffee.
My beard could definitely have coffee.
So movie theaters and they're changing. And
so yeah.
Down a rabbit hole.
When do we not go down rabbit holes? So that's, I think this is interesting. So I guess then I'm back to my question. What do we think is keeping movie theaters alive?
Yeah.
And what do we think, I mean, what can they do to, I mean, obviously... Every time I hear about this, I hear box office smashing mm-hmm. previous records. I mean, Star Wars smashed a record.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really amazing.
Deadpool smashed a record.
Well, and that's even with adjusted money.
Mm-hmm.
They're adjusting it for anything. So not only are we getting... Not only are they surviving, but they're blossoming
mm-hmm.
in the Netflix environment. Which I would have thought wouldn't have happened.
There's apparently something about going with a group of people to a different location, sitting amongst strangers and watching their reactions on a huge screen that's still giving you better quality, better sound system than you might have, most people would have at their home, but still not implausible that people have rival systems and screens, at least enough that... They're not going to have a movie theater size screen, but they're going to have a big enough TV that it's going to still feel super impressive.
Right.
But you're not getting that stranger aspect of that energy that mm-hmm. goes with that. Kind of like going to a concert versus buying a CD and listening to it on your radio.
It is kind of weird that way, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So I've kind of fallen out of the theater experience in general, unless if it's the Alamo, because it does bother me to no end when someone... breaks the fourth wall by pulling out their phone and the glow of the light.
Right.
Or
right. And there's a lot of that that goes on. The other thing, I noticed this a long time ago. I don't think, and I've said this before, I don't think I've ever been to a movie by myself. For me, it is absolutely a social experience. I mean, there have been times where I've been like, I'm going to go to this movie. Who's going with me? Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'm not going to go to this movie. You know, I have opted to not go to the movie.
My preference is definitely to go with friends or a friend, but however...
You're willing to go if...
In high school, I spent a lot of time going to the movie theaters by myself.
Yeah.
It's just people don't want to go.
I don't think I have ever done that. I mean, I think I might have done it once and sat there in the theater awkwardly going, I am by myself in this theater the entire time and feeling uncomfortable because I remember that feeling now.
So I
must have done it once. I just don't remember when it was, but... I mean, still, yeah. I don't know. So there's a social aspect.
Yep.
So is it the social aspect?
Is that what's keeping the theaters
alive? Is that what's keeping it alive?
Who knows?
I mean, because we know that... I mean, and we still have this same thing. Movies, if movies came out direct to Netflix, would they be treated like direct-to-video?
Who knows? Would it make enough of a profit? Because I don't know the numbers.
I don't think the profit's actually relevant. Now that I'm thinking about it, there's an aspect,
mm-hmm.
which is, if I did a movie, guy's movie, mm-hmm. and I release it in the theaters, it's got prestige.
Yeah.
If I do guy's movie and release it direct to video, it might as well be porn. Yeah. I mean, for the way that they
Wouldn't it be?
Yeah, it would.
Okay.
I mean, let's be realistic.
It's called guy's movie.
Totally. No, it wouldn't. it'd be all about spaceships shooting each other. I mean, really, it'd be porn, but it wouldn't be the kind of porn you think it is.
I forget the director that had said this, but I remember reading somewhere, too, about a director that said, never, ever, ever watch a movie on a phone or a tablet. Because I think in his mind, he's like, well, if you shot the thing on...
HD?
Not HD, but just actual film. If mm-hmm. you made it on film, then it deserves to be seen on screen. Now, interesting aspect to that, and I've totally forgotten the millimeter. I think it's 70 millimeter is what Tarantino shot The Hateful Eight on, which is unheard of shooting it on that type of
size
film,
And it's twice up what we normally use.
And there's only so many theaters that were capable of showing it at that level to get the full effect. And there's beautiful panoramic scenes in it.
And he lingers
on those shots. And it's one of those, when I'm watching it, it's like, I'm really glad I saw it on a huge screen in the theater, because on a phone or on a TV...
You'd have to see a Continental here for that.
Yeah.
To get that effect.
So it's so there's an aspect of the... You could have an HD TV and have good quality, but you're not getting the same projection rates.
Yeah.
However, there's cheap... We're lucky enough here in Colorado to have what I call cheapy theaters or dollar theaters, although it's not a dollar. It's like $3, but still $3 compared to...
We call them... It used to be dollar theaters.
Used to be a dollar theater. Man, when I moved here, there was this place that doesn't exist anymore. They had a $4 bill. You got into the movie... You got a medium soda, a medium popcorn, and your choice of candy, all for $4. So it was the $4 for $4 deal, and it was amazing. And of
that's
course,
why they're not here anymore.
It's not why they're here anymore. Yeah, they couldn't make a profit. But in any case,
great deal.
The Elvis Theaters, as they're called here. Their second run, the quality of the film's not as good. You get the more, it's a lower quality theater, but you're getting what you pay for, but you still get this theater experience of going and seeing a film.
Right, right.
With a group of people.
Well, and if that's the draw. Mm-hmm. But I think that what we've got is we've got the social experience and the prestige.
Yeah.
You're not going to get an Oscar ever for a movie that was released to direct to video. You're just not.
No.
And so if you get a movie that's direct to Netflix, if you know, Marvel's Avengers 3 direct mm-hmm. to Netflix, nobody's gonna give them any kind of, even if it was the same quality, even if it was the same level, even if Joss Whedon himself came back in to direct it, you still wouldn't get the same prestige. So I think
it'll change if those awards will start adapting to that, if that does happen.
I think what we will find is that's probably the dam that we're worried about that will break. Because if the awards, if you can get an Oscar for a direct to Netflix show, if you can get an Oscar for that, that'll be it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the prestige level will expand into streaming. And
if it's still making the same money, then actors will not have to worry about taking a pay cut, and then they're going for that prestige of getting that Oscar, because that's what they're doing it for, is a combination of the experience of doing it, and that's what they're drawn to for their craft.
And we had pay-per-view for a long time with cable, so mm-hmm. will it or will it not? I mean, that didn't pay enough to make anything higher than just wrestling work, really, wrestling and, well, porn. But, you know, it's really pretty much all that could get paid for enough out of pay-per-view. They would do first-run movies, but not... You'd get first-run movies that were 3 or 4 weeks out.
Mm-hmm.
But they still had a 3 or 4 week lead in theaters, where they were released in theaters.
I'm going to wrap this back around, because there's a couple of things I just thought of when we talked about how theaters have changed.
Uh-huh.
The concession thing in some theaters is now like a walk-through line buffet type deal. So you go through and pick out the things you want. And it's not just popcorn and soda and candy. You now have nachos and hot dogs and burgers and pizza. And
I know. They're feeding you.
They're expanding their menu to make more money, because the money...
Because they can get a hot dog, and you feel it's acceptable to pay $4 for a $1 hot dog.
Mm-hmm. You can bargain on the $4 hot dog.
Yeah, I know, and you get a bargain if you got $4.
So that's definitely an aspect that changes the way concessions work, not just what the...
Well, they're getting their money there, and that makes sense.
And, but and it makes it go a little faster, because you're not walking up and waiting in line to go through commercial time.
That's right.
Way more commercials now than I remember
there
ever being.
There was never that many commercials.
And now there's commercials, not just trailers of movies.
Right.
You have to...
We have like real commercials for Coca-Cola.
Yeah, or cars.
Car ads. It's really...
In a movie theater.
That's surreal.
Yeah.
And that's one of those that our kids, they're just going to have no concept of a time there was movies that didn't... It's going to be like when we talk about the serials that our parents went through and watched. you know, the Lone Ranger and things like that. We have no concept of that. That wasn't in our world, so we don't know what Flash Gordon was like, or the Lone Ranger, or any of those constant serials that drew people to the theaters. Although, I've got to say, if there were serials, that actually could be kind of cool. If we did modern versions of serials,
the Marvel Cinema Universe is almost
like a serial,
because they tie the story in with all the different characters, so it's almost like a giant serial in that aspect.
It could be, and then Star Wars. That's what inspired Lucas to make Star Wars, was the Flash Gordon type serials. That's why it's got kind of a slightly cheesy effect to it. Mm-hmm. You know, and the cheese factor is because he was trying to go for the Flash Gordon sort of serials. So that's an interesting thing. I mean, maybe that's...
I'm remembering that. And some theaters are experimenting with, or they have in place, daycares.
Yeah.
So you don't have to take your kids to the movie theater. You can put them in the daycare. And
it's fascinating.
That. And then some theaters are now putting in these recliners.
Yeah.
Super comfortable
or love seats, so that you and your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend
or they have the optional arm where you can put the arm up between the two people and then cuddle like we do.
Exactly. That's the way we like to do our movies.
We like the Geek Tank family to be close.
We do.
So there's definitely a lot of changes that are happening to accommodate it, and I think that those little changes are definitely helping theaters alive.
Which is a good thing. I mean, I love going to the theater, and I wanted to say this sort of at the beginning. This is not to say that we want theaters to go away. We are examining why is it that they haven't, when Netflix has gone through and wiped out a whole bunch of other areas, and they keep sucking in zones of things with this killer app. Why didn't they take out the cinemas? And why are cinemas making even more money? And that wasn't to say that we didn't like cinema.
Oh, especially just the nostalgia aspect, because movie theater going, for my age and our age, is definitely, we got to see this evolution happen.
Right.
And we lived before the VHS tapes. So it was, if you want to watch something, you better be at home at the time it happens to catch it on TV.
Right.
And so
before DVRs.
Oh, yeah. The drive-in theaters is another aspect that's almost gone the way the dodo, at least for us here.
I remember going to the drive-in in our station wagon.
Yep.
And it had a luggage rack on top, we'd put sleeping bags up there. My sister and I would put our sleeping bags up there, and they'd put the little
climb
thing up there and climb up on top and watch the movie on top.
I remember my mom.
Your mom.
Would make the best homemade cooked popcorn and then add the real butter to it. And it's tradition to have a Hershey candy bar with it. So chocolate and popcorn is a combination that I have, that I love. And
it's like Junior Mints. Junior Mints are required for me.
Then you take the glass bottled sodas in the cooler. So you don't have that experience anymore with it.
No.
To that,
because they want to control that. That's probably part of what that was. Yeah. They wanted to control the food that you're bringing in.
Somebody I know is a master of smuggling food into. I'm not going to name any names, but this person once smuggled a whole seafood platter into seeing a movie.
That wasn't me.
It wasn't me. Well, maybe it was me. But in any case,
it wasn't him.
I love trench coats with pockets for that aspect.
Yeah.
But in any case,
I don't know why, but I have to buy everything.
And
it's just horrible.
Artificial butter that you love and that stuff.
I love artificial butter. There's like a whole bunch of things that I love that are just horrible, and you're like, what in the world?
Like me.
I don't know why
horrible,
I love you.
But
I love you anyway.
So, the theater going experience, I think it itself has a certain energy.
It does.
That's helping keep it alive.
Yeah.
That Netflix has not yet killed it. Hopefully it doesn't.
I hope it doesn't, because I actually like the experience.
What if Netflix created theaters that
Netflix Theater presents?
For $8 a month, you can come see as many movies as you want in this theater.
Dude!
Yeah.
Netflix, if you're listening, please kick back some money to us in our Patreon. Thank you. Because, I mean, really, take the idea. Have the idea. We're good with that.
Or maybe free passes for life.
Or just free passes for life.
We're old. We eat horrible. Our life expansion, a free pass for life is not...
Not that long. Our life expectancy isn't that high.
Any case.
Okay. Well, that's our show for today with only one break, which is interesting.
Are you sure we didn't stick a second break in there?
I'm sure, because we have a lap timer.
But we might have missed the lap timer on the other one.
No. Anyway, rewind the tape. Okay. And see for yourself whether we actually had
two breaks. Well, you could always edit a second break in.
I'll just stop us in the middle, in the middle of a word. You'll be in the middle. Right there. Okay. Well then, that's all we have for today. Talk to us on Twitter at RMGeekTank. You can also find us on Facebook at Rocky Mountain Geek Tank or email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube. Just go into their little search engine and type in Rocky Mountain Geek Tank, and hopefully we're the ones that pop up. If you keep scrolling until you see our green jerseys, you know.
There you go.
I don't think you see our green jerseys on iTunes, but yeah, if you do, then congrats. Be sure to give us a rating on all those things.
Preferably stars. A lot of stars.
A lot of stars. I mean, I don't want you to lie.
I want you to lie.
Guy does. He likes that. Because the more stars we get, the more popular we get.
And the higher we move in the rankings.
You can subscribe to us, and that way it'll let you know when we throw a new episode on.
When we throw up?
Throw up on a new episode.
Yep. Special thanks go out to Enchanted Grounds Coffee House for hosting us today. And our guests today were a couple of board games sitting over there just staring at us, and they're still over there. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, ladies. Okay, I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And this is Geek Tank.
Geek Tank is a production of Foxblade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis and C. Troy Floor. Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. If you like what you are hearing, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/foxblade. I'm Mike Davis, hoping you live long and prosper. Good night.